thought the woman said, and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Hallelujah. Have you reached out and touched him? Dude, you got a new life. It's a whole different life. I mean, there ain't nothing like it. It's amazing you sung that song. Turn with me to it. Romans, it's amazing. Romans 6 chapter. It's good. Life that I now live with the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. It's a new life. I'm just going to read this chapter and look at a few of the verses, okay? Romans chapter number 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as so many of us were baptized unto Jesus, Christ were baptized unto his death. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death. That is like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so we also should walk in newness of life. There it is. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. Hallelujah. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was reading that. You know what I thought about? I thought about, you know, what that verse say, reckon also they're dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thought to myself, a lot of us is alive unto sin and dead unto God. But I want to tell you something. Ephesians 2:1 says, you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. When God quickens you, you know we're waiting for the redemption of the body. One day it'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Although if we go by the way of the grave, we'll be raised and put off all old corruption, be put all, be gone, put on incorruption. But we've already, the spirit of man, the spirit, if you've been born again, you've already been quickened in the spirit. You've already been, listen, resurrected from that dead trespasses and sins. You've already been resurrected with Christ from that dead spirit that we lived in and dead in trespasses and sins. And the reason a lot of time we see this, all this deadness, is because people are still dead in their sins. But thank God we got to die to sin. To be resurrected with Christ, thank God. And we can, for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, let me read a little bit more. Amen. He said, verse number 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death had no more meaning for him. For he that died, he died to sin once. But he that liveth unto God. I read that. But going down to verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your instruments unto instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. See, there it is. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are, listen, not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Thank God for that. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and so and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. He said one time you was yielding yourself unto unrighteousness, but now you must yield yourselves to, listen, to righteousness and holiness. Thank God for it. The Bible said without holiness no man shall see the Lord. You say, well, I can't be holy. You better get a hold of one it is. You better trust in one it is. You better let him take your sins and give you his righteousness. You know, I'm glad when God sees me, he sees me in Christ. And without him, listen, thank God in Christ. Listen, that's the only way you want to go before God. That's the only way you want to appear before God or be seen is in Christ Jesus, our wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. You said, what in the world are you talking about? Hey, listen, it's Jesus Christ or nothing. Hallelujah. You'll never make it, listen, without it. And without him. It won't never happen. It can't happen. But thank God for this wonderful Savior we got in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we better watch it and yield our instruments unto him and to righteousness and holiness. Verse 20 said, for whom you were the servant, when you were the servant of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit have you then in those things when you are now ashamed? We don't have none. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. One time we was yielding our members to unrighteousness. But he said, now yield every member of your body to righteousness. Bless God, this needs to be put in practice in our lives daily. Yielding ourselves. Don't give in to the other things he said, but yield yourself unto the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. But he says, what fruit have you then of these things? But he said, for the end of those things is what? Death. That's all is in them. But now being made free from sin, become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness. There it is. And the end everlasting life. You know, holiness is not a nomination. It's a holiness, it's a purity of God that he sheds about in our hearts. Hallelujah. It's a power of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's his righteousness. It's his holiness. Thank God it is. He said, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is some kind of life in Christ Jesus. It sure is. Then he said, you have a fruit in the holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm going to tell you something. The devil pays. He pays in wages. You better watch him. And I'm going to tell you that sin's got a wage. It's a payday on sin. There's a payday Sunday. Sin got a payday. And the devil pays in wages. But I'm going to tell you something. God said, I got something free to give you. It's a free gift. You know, you ought to read sometime in the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. I know at least three times it says free gift. I know at least three other times it says gift. These six times I know in that chapter it talks about the salvation. Thank the Lord. God gave us something. That's what he said to the woman at the well. He said, if you'd known who was talking to you, you would ask of him and he'd give you that, listen, living water. Do what? Give it to you. And she got a drink of it. She left the water pot and went back to town. And glory to God, what a wonderful testimony she had. I saw a man, met a man, told me all the things I ever done. And he gave her something. He gave her some everlasting life. You know what? Thank God bless the reading of the word. I want to tell you something. I want you to look at something over here in the first part of this chapter. Hallelujah. He said something in verse number 3, that we abide with him by baptism of death, lest like Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Thank God. It's a new life. That new life is in Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Do you have that new life? Paul said, me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Thank God. There's a time coming. Listen, when you wish 100 times over 100 times that you've had this new life, if you don't have it, don't you leave this place this morning. If you don't know absolutely sure that you've been quickened by the Spirit of God and had the new birth has happened to you and you walk in this new life. Hallelujah. Raised from the dead. Listen, we died with Christ. We die with him. I'm going to tell you something. When he went to that cross 2,000 years ago, I want to tell you, we was crucified with him. We died with him. You said, I wasn't there. I want to tell you something. Thank God. He went to the cross. We crucified with him. We died with him. Thank God we'll resurrect with him. He's already resurrected our spirit. I mentioned that. One day the body is coming. Thank God. We crucified with him. Nailed to that old cross. We was in Christ. He did it. I'm telling you something. You either die to sin. Get a hold of this. Or either you'll die for sin. I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to load up all these sins and take them to heaven. You better get them to the cross. We better be sure they've been taken care of. I'm going to tell you something. You don't bury people if you're not dead. Someone asked about somebody. They said, well, they buried him a year ago. Well, he knew then he was dead. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, you see, you bury somebody. We don't bury them alive. They dead. And so I want to tell you something. The reason a lot of us haven't been buried with Christ is why? Because we not dead yet. Huh? We hadn't died yet. Died. We got to die first if we're going to be resurrected. We must first die with Christ. Must be crucified. You know what Apostle Paul said? He said, I'm crucified with Christ, didn't he? Nevertheless, I live, but not I. But Christ liveth in me. He was crucified with Christ. You say, my goodness, he persecuted him. Yeah, he did. Because when he met him on the road to Damascus, he said, why persecutest thou me? He was persecuting him. He was persecuting the Christians. When he was doing that, he was persecuting the Lord. But you know what he said to him? But later, Apostle Paul said this, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, the life that I now live, I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a life. What a life we have. By the grace of God. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. What a Savior. Isn't it amazing? Paul said, I'm crucified with him. He died with him. And I'll tell you something. He was resurrected up with him into newness. A new life. Now, if you can't, nobody ever did try to tell me the Apostle Paul didn't have 100% change and a turnaround when he met Christ. He was a new creature. 1 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And he said in this verse of scripture, he said, He said that you have been planted together. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death. Hallelujah. We've been planted with him in the likeness of his death. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And so his death. And we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Hallelujah. I already said spirits resurrected first. Then after that, it'll be the body that'll be resurrected. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice something in this verse here. Knowing that old man's crucified. Who is that old man? That's that old nature. That old Adamic nature. Crucified. I wish we'd get slammed rid of him. But that old man's something else. And that ain't what some people call. I never call mine that. I ain't talking about the old man, your daddy, or nobody else here in this world. Or grandpa, who you might want to call the old man. And sometimes we get to be called that. We get old, but I'm going to tell you something. That old man he's talking about here is that old Adamic nature that we inherited from our father Adam. That's why he's got to be crucified. Got to crucify him. Put him on that cross. That's when Jesus went there. Amen. He said, our old man's crucified. That's what he said. Crucified. How's he crucified? With him. You can't crucify him. You can't handle him. Neither can I. Thank God he can. Now I'm going to tell you something. Thank God. Listen. And I know I've heard people say that it was perfect, but I can't say that. I wish I could. Oh, listen. The only way I can say that is I can say it we're complete in him. I'm perfect in him. Scripture teaches that. I'm accepted in him. I know those three things. All in him. And we're crucified in him. But I want to tell you something. We need to shake off these sins. Listen. Hey. We need to crucify them. Listen. They be nailed to that cross. And die with our Savior. And be crucified. The old man. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the only way it can be done. We got to crucify him. Crucify that old man. Oh, he'll come back. He'll try to pop that head up. I'm going to tell you something. Just remember. Hey, just tell him. You've been crucified, boy. Jesus. You crucified in Jesus. Pop your head back up. Go. Old man, go. You crucified with Christ. Amen. And what does he say? He said, crucify him that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. We are not to serve sin. We're to serve him. If it don't bother you, when you sin, something wrong. But I'm going to tell you the first time, it was like a dagger stuck in my heart. I'm going to tell you something. If it don't bother you, you better check up. But if it bothers you, and you'll confess it, the Bible said we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If it bothers you, well, I know why it's bothering you. Same reason it would bother me. It does bother me. You know why? You're one of his. And you don't want to commit sin. You want to do what's right. But thank God we got a Savior. He said if we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's not there to push you down. He's there to pick you up and forgive you and cleanse you and set you on your journey. What did he say in verse number? Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, not just the power of the Father, but the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. How many of you have ever seen a baby get up and start walking? I mean, a little one. Do you ever see him walk, never fall? Most, I didn't. Never did. They're going to stumble. They're going to fall. And God said for us to walk how? What he said? In newness of life. Hallelujah. How are you going to walk with God? I wish I had a wind again. We'd ask him with me. He walked with God. Listen, hundreds of years. Surely we could walk with him 50, 60, 70, 80 years, couldn't we? He walked with him. The Bible said he walked with God and was not, for God took him. He was walking with God one day, and somebody said he got near home with him, and God just took him on with him. Hey, he was walking with God. One day God took him on home. The Bible said he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, Enoch got out of here, and they went looking for him, didn't he? Not Enoch, but Elijah, wasn't it? Hey, he didn't find him over. God come got him on that chariot. Horse, chariots of fire. Hallelujah. Amen. That reminds me of what the doctor said about one of my brothers. Remember what the doctor said about Brother Leroy, about Brother Willard Leroy? You know what he said? He called us all back. We was all up there in the front when he had that heart attack, and life flighted him to pandemonium. Thank God he lives a few more years. But you know what the doctor told us? First thing he said, you see all these empty pews up in? I reckon that's what reminded me. He said, come on up here at the front. This is not a Methodist church. Undoubtedly he was a Methodist. I'm not making this up. He said it. I started asking, was he a Methodist? But he must have been. He probably wouldn't have said that. I started to say, Baptist too. Because it's all right with me, wherever you said. You probably can hear me anywhere. These other preachers too. But you know what he said? He told us. He said he's fighting for life. We doing everything we can do. We doing all we can do. This is the words he said. But he said if the Lord sends that chariot to come get him, he said, there's nothing we can do. I want to tell you something. You're going to walk with God, and I am, by the grace of God, too. One of these days, he's going to send a chariot at us. You listen, we're going to want to be sure that we're walking in newness of life. Hallelujah. You know what? I've never forgotten it. He said, I'm going to tell you something. There's some doctors that know God. Some of them talk to God. I had one tell him he's praying for me. I said, well, thank God for that. And you know what? I pray that God guide those hands while they guide those instruments and all those things that they do. But I'm going to tell you something. God, he said in this passage of Scripture, they walked in newness of life. Are you walking with God? We need to be, don't we? We better be walking with God. New life. Now, what is this new life about? Well, I'll tell you something. It's a divine life. Listen, thank God it is. When he imparts that life to us, we're born to the Spirit of God. It's a whole new world, folks. I thought the world had changed. I thought I'd looking through different eyes. I couldn't figure out where all that weight of burden had gone to. I couldn't figure out where all that heaviness had gone to. It was a life, thank God, that's wonderful. It was a beautiful life, a blessed life, a glorious life. It still is. The life that you live for Christ, when Christ is living in you, it's a hope of glory, hallelujah. It's a wonderful life. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what kind of this new life is. It's abundant life. Thank God it is. You can enjoy it. God didn't call us. I'd be sad all the time. That's all right to weep and cry. Man the other day was crying at a funeral. I said, sir, that's fine. Graveside. I said, that's okay. Quote that verse to him. Shortest verse in the Bible. He just wanted to quote. Jesus wept. That's when he was at last from his heart. Knowing he's fixing to raise him from the dead. But he always still wept. He's still full of compassion now. Tell you something. He can weep with you. Yes, he will. He's got compassion. He loves you. Oh, thank God. But listen, this life, this new life, walking in it. Amen. In newness of life. What a life. What a life that we're living in. And you know what? It's an active life. It'll keep you busy. It will. If you're walking with God, it'll keep you busy. I'm telling you, there's plenty to do for the Lord. We need to be walking with God. Wherever we walk, we'll be a light in a so dark world for the glory of God. Everywhere I go, I see people. There's a guy come by the rest of Saturday morning. I was going to get me some breakfast. He was riding a bicycle. Got talking to him. I guess what got me to talking to him, he's about the same age as Luke, my son-in-law. Not my son-in-law, but my son. Luke, my grandson. And I got talking to him. He was riding them bicycles, going to ride slam to California. I got to talk, we was just talking to him. Yeah. Before I leave, I went over and Holy Ghost said, go over and talk to him about the Lord. So I went over and we started talking to him about the Lord and found out he knows the Lord. And you know what he told me? I see his bicycle was right out the window. And then I started talking to him about the Lord. His bicycle was right out the window. He had two bags on this side and two on the front. And it was raining. He said, I may sit in here a while before I take off because the rain was coming from that way. He headed that way. He said, how far? I said, you can stay on 90. I think far as I know, you can get to California if you want to. Used to could anyhow. I think you still can anyway. That's what I told him. And you know what he told me though? He said, I got a New Testament right out there in one of them bags. I said, well, praise God. I said, you stay in that book. And I don't know why he's doing what he's doing, but I didn't get into any questions. But you know what? It blessed me to realize, find out. He said he knew the Lord. He told me he had that New Testament. I turned carrying it with him. I said, well, you stay in that book. You stay with God. You live for him. It's the best life there are. Holy Ghost has already talked to him about this verse here, the best life. The only life, the wonderful life, the glorious life, the fulfillment life, life that will bless you, life that go young, life that is now, and that to come, thank God. What a wonderful life. Hallelujah. I used to wonder why, Leroy, I used to wonder why Daddy loved that Bible so. It wore out, kept it in his suitcase, carried it with him to Tallahassee to work. Oh, I used to wonder how in the world he could stay at home, and that's why he didn't care a thing about going watching us play ball, never went. But I know what it didn't bother me a lick. I knew what he was doing. I knew what he was doing at home. I knew it with all my heart. I'm going to tell you something. He's in that word, studied the word, and he loved the word. I thought to myself, what kind of life's that? I knew he was joyful. I knew he had the word of God in him. You know what I found out? That's a real life. That's a wonderful life. Hallelujah. I'm a little bit rough on Bibles. You know what? God gave me a message. In fact, it was the night Emily got saved. 14 got saved that night. Give me a message on what would you do if you knew you had 24 hours to live. When Hezekiah got the word from the prophet, set his house in order. Because he'd die and not live. You know what? One of the things I said, some things I want to leave behind. You know what one of them was? I can't remember the rest of them. You know what one of them was? Stack of wore out Bibles. I'm working on it. If you don't believe it, go in my office. I'm working on it. I got two of them now, preacher. I don't just say which one I pick up. But I went through, it's about 7 or 8 of them. But I want to tell you something. The Word of God, didn't nothing take the place of it. It's life. It's powerful. The Word of God's quick. It's sharp. And I want to encourage you today. If you want to walk in this life, you're going to have to get in this book. Get in this book. You got to walk in the Word of God. The Word of God's pure, powerful, sharper in a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. He said, I want to walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. It's a new life. Hallelujah. Never experienced it before. Wouldn't take nothing for it. I'll tell you something else. It's an unending life. Woo! Hallelujah. It's one going to live on. Hallelujah. It's not going to stop when I get in the graveyard. It's not going to stop. Listen, glory to God. It's not stopping. I'm going to live forever with the Lord. Hallelujah. Because what he did for me on the cross of Calvary, that's that new life that he gave me in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Have you got that life? It's a real experience. A born again spirit. I born the first time. Listen, 1945, got born again. Hallelujah. Sure did. 1965, hallelujah. You know what? Been a new life. Woo! Glory to God. You don't ever forget this. You've been born once, you're going to die twice. You've been born twice, you're going to die once. Said, explain it, preacher. I will. Thank you. I'm glad you asked. What's he saying? Word of God teaches. If you're born one time, and it's new birth, what brings is new life. New birth brings a new life. See, you're born the first time just like we're born from our mother's womb. But you're born again. You're born from above of the Spirit. And of the Word of God. Amen. That's it. You're born again. But if you ain't been born again, you know, you're going to have to die twice. We all, if Jesus tires, we're going to, why we got to put this body off? We can't get in heaven with this. You can't even get in the presence, in the real presence of God with it. And every time they, you're reading the Bible, every time they got in his presence, and they fell down, he's dead. What is it? What is the new birth is? If you're born one time, listen, you're only going to die physically. Listen, but if you're still dead in your trespasses and sins, listen, you'll die the second death. The Bible said in Revelation 20, verse number 5, blessed and holy is he that part in the first resurrection, for over him the second death hath no power. But there's a second death. What is a second death? Whosoever name not written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. You don't want to be cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death forever and ever and ever and ever. that eternal fire away from God, away from His presence, away from His power. Oh, my soul, you don't want to go there. Be sure you've been born again where you can walk in newness of life. It's a new birth that gives you the new life. It's not joining the church. It's not walking an aisle. It's not just being baptized. You got to be baptized into the body of Christ. It takes the Spirit of God. I can't do that. It takes Him to put you into the body of Christ. You got to be born again. Got to be born again. I heard a preacher say, was it someone, I've been someone here, I can't hear, I listen to preaching all the time. Heard someone say, Brother Billy Graham said 80% of our church members are lost. Never been born again. Brother Dr. R.G. Lee years ago said similar the same thing. That's sobering thought. Nothing but the new birth. Been born again. Hallelujah. Amen. Put into the body of Christ. And so listen. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. If the Lord comes, we won't go away to the grave, but we'll put off this old corruption. And we'll put on incorruption. Because John says, the little book of 1 John says, Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth him not, because it knew him not. Behold, well, we know what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. We're going to be changed in his likeness. What's God doing to us now? We walk in a new life, and he's conforming us into the image of his Son. God's conforming us, shaping us, and molding us. He's the potter, and we the clay. And he's shaping us and forming us into the image of his Son. And one day, we'll be like him. But thank God till then, I want to walk as he walked. And I want to walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Thank God we can. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you do that? Oh, listen, you said, I don't know what to say. Say what they told me to say. What if some fella put armor around me and said, just pray God be merciful to me as a sinner? Aren't you glad? Boy, they didn't like it because Jesus received sinners, but I'm so glad he does. I'd have never got in. He's still receiving them. Hallelujah. He'll still go home and meet with you. Hallelujah. That's all them old Pharisees want to do, try to find something wrong with him. And he was loving people and loving them and bringing them in and going home. Hallelujah. He even had time to see old Zacchaeus up a tree. He's a savior of all savior. And he wants to save you. And he wants you to have that unending, eternal, everlasting life instead of death. Went to Calvary to pay that price. My Lord did. Oh, listen, if I could make that decision for you, I would, but I can't. You'll have to come as he draws and he speaks to you. We're going to sing a song. Brother Larry, come lead us in a song. We're going to sing a song this morning while we're singing.